Hey y'all, and welcome to year two, first episode of Mama Ween with Ohio Crime Mom. I apologize for the delay. As most of you know, we had Facebook shut down. I was having some issues with my phone because of it. And then yesterday, if you are a part of the Ohio Crime Mom group, you would have seen that my daughter was sent home from school sick. The vomiting, she was fine, but they had to send her home. So yesterday was a little hectic. So we are getting this week's episode up. Well, technically last week's episode up now, and you guys can probably expect another one on either Sunday or Monday. Before we jump into everything, I do want to give a little disclaimer that this case does involve domestic violence. The cases I will be doing for Mama Ween are either cases that are real cases that horror movies were based off of, or things that happened to people who worked at on horror movies. This may not be for everyone, and if it's not, I perfectly understand that. But if it is, I hope you guys enjoy. And without further ado, we are going to go ahead and jump into the case of Dominique Dunn. Dominique Ellen Dunn was born on November 23rd, 1959, in Santa Monica, California, to her parents, Ellen and Dominic Dunn. Dominique's mother, Ellen, was a ranching heiress, while father, Dominic, was a writer, producer, and actor. In 1967, Ellen and Dominic would divorce. Dominique went to many different prestigious schools, and after graduating high school, she spent a year in Florence, Italy. Dominique studied acting and appeared in many stage productions, including West Side Story and Mousetrap, to name a few. After many television roles, Dominique was cast in her first feature film in 1981, Poltergeist. Dunn played as Dana Freeling, the teenage daughter of the couple whose whole family was terrorized by a malevolent spirit. Sorry. Poltergeist opened on June 4th of 1982 and went on to gross more than $70 million. The entire Poltergeist franchise is said to be cursed. In total, four cast members died during or shortly after filming the series. Starting off with Heather O'Rourke. She was only 6 years old and misdiagnosed with Crohn's disease. She suffered cardiac arrest and died while doctors tried to remove an obstruction from her bowels. Next up was Julian Beck, who was diagnosed with stomach cancer in 1983 and died just a short year later. Will Sampson passed away after undergoing a heart and lung transplant. And not last but not least, Miss Dominique Ellen Dunn. Dominique attended a party in 1981 where she met a sous chef named John Thomas Sweeney. After just a few weeks of dating, the couple moved into a one-bedroom house on Wrangley Avenue in West Hollywood. The relationship became toxic very quick. Sweeney was overly possessive and very jealous. The couple fought daily, and Sweeney was physically abusive to Dominique. Before we get any further, we're going to take a break to hear from this week's sponsors. Rella's Wonder Crafts is a small, family-owned crafting business located here in Southern Ohio. They make a variety of crafts from custom shirts and tumblers to decals and wreaths, plus so much more. Since 2017, they have been creating magic and happiness by bringing their customers and visions to life. Come take a peek into their world. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Etsy, and TikTok. And just in time for Christmas, you can get so many great things. On August 27th of 1982, Sweeney yanked handfuls of Dunn's hair from the root. Dominique fled to her mother's, where Sweeney followed. He began banging on the doors and windows, demanding that he be let in, but when Ellen threatened to call the police, he fled. A few days later, Dominique would return to the home and try to fix the relationship. On September 26th of 1982, Sweeney grabbed Dominique by her throat and threw her to the floor. He began to strangle her. A friend who was staying with the couple heard the commotion and came into the room. Dominique told this friend that Sweeney had tried to kill her, but Sweeney stated that they were just playing around. When Sweeney told Dunn to come back to bed, she snuck out of the bathroom window. Upon hearing the car engine start, Sweeney ran and jumped on the hood of the car. Dominique escaped and stayed with her mother and friends the following days. After a few days, she called Sweeney and ended the relationship. After Sweeney finally moved out, Dominique moved back in, but not until every lock in the house was changed. On October 30th, 1982, just a few short weeks after their breakup, Dominique was home and on the phone with a friend. A fellow actor named David Parker was at the home to rehearse lines. While on the phone, Sweeney called Dominique. She took the call, and 10 minutes later, Sweeney showed up at her home. At first, Dunn would only speak to Sweeney through the door, but she eventually agreed to speak on the porch. David Parker agreed to stay inside. Sweeney and Dunn began to argue, and Parker said that he had heard a smacking sound, two screams, and a thud. He then called police, who said that Dunn's home was out of their jurisdiction. Parker then decided to phone a friend and told them that if he was found dead, John Sweeney was the killer. He then exited out the back entrance, and when he approached the driveway, he saw Sweeney kneeling over Dunn in the bushes. Sweeney instructed Parker to call the police. When police arrived, Sweeney met them in the driveway with his hands in the air and stated, quote, "I killed my girlfriend and I tried to kill myself," end quote. Dominique was transported to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center, where she was placed on life support. On November 4th of 1982, Dominique's parents would remove her from life support, and at the request of her mom, Dominique's kidneys and heart were donated. On November 6th of 1982, Dominique's funeral was held at the Church of the Good Shepherd in Beverly Hills. She was laid to rest in Westwood Village Memorial Park Cemetery. Her final TV appearance aired on November 18th, 1982, just 12 days after she was laid to rest and was dedicated in her memory. The episode was of a show called The Hill Street Blues and was filmed on September 27th, 1982, just one day after Sweeney had assaulted her. This left visible marks on her body, and in the episode, she played an abused teen, and no makeup was used to create the bruises that were seen. If you are a member of the Ohio Crime Mom Facebook group, I will be trying to add the video or a link to the video from Dunn's last performance on TV. excuse me, sorry. Where you can see the bruises that were left on her. The night Sweeney attacked Dunn, he was arrested on attempted murder charges, but when Dominique passed, he was charged with first-degree murder. He originally pled not guilty. Sweeney's trial began in August of 1983, and the judge was Burton S. Katz. At his trial, Sweeney would take the stand in his own defense. He testified that he had not intended on hurting Dunn. He said he had come over that night because they had made up and was planning on getting married. When he arrived, he said that Dunn had told him that she had been leading him on and had changed her mind. This caused him to explode and lunge after her. He stated that he didn't recall attacking Dunn, but he realized he was on top of her, strangling her. He said he then realized that Dunn was not breathing and tried to make her walk, but her body was limp and fell to the ground. He then attempted CPR, but Dunn threw up from this. And he said in turn he vomited as well. He then stated he ran into Dunn's home and swallowed two bottles of pills to kill himself as well and returned to the driveway where he lied beside Dominique waiting to die. Sweeney's attorney said his actions were due to heat of passion and not premeditated. Prosecution and police dismissed the claims that the attack wasn't premeditated. Upon arrival, officers say Sweeney was calm and collected. Excuse me. Deputy Frank D'Amelio was the first on scene and stated that Sweeney said, quote, "Man, I blew it. I killed her. I didn't think I choked her that hard, but I don't know. I just kept on choking her. I just lost my temper and blew it again," end quote. Medical examiners stated that Dunn had been strangled for at least 3 minutes, which means that there couldn't have been a fit of passion. Sweeney's ex-girlfriend, Lillian Pierce, was called to the stand but did not testify in front of the jury. Pierce stated that Sweeney had assaulted her 10 times between 1977 and 1980. Two of these assaults, Pierce claimed to have suffered, were a perforated eardrum, collapsed lung, and a broken nose at the hands of Sweeney. Sweeney's attorney, Michael Adelson, requested that the judge dismiss Pierce's testimony because it was prejudicial. Judge Katz granted the motion, and on August 29th of 1983, attorney Adelson requested that Judge Katz to rule that the evidence presented was insufficient to try Sweeney on first-degree murder. Katz granted this motion and informed the jury that they could only consider the charges of manslaughter and second-degree murder. On September 21st, 1983, after 8 days of deliberation, the jury found John Sweeney guilty of voluntary manslaughter. Many people, including Dominic Dunn, criticized Judge Katz for withholding Lillian Pierce's testimony. On November 7th of 1983, Judge Katz sentenced John Sweeney to 6 years in prison. This was the maximum sentence for his charge. Dominique's father went on to write an article called Justice, a Killer's Account of the Trial of His Daughter's Killer. It was published in March of 1984 in Vanity Fair. John Sweeney was released on parole in September of 1986 after just over 3.5 years of his 6-year sentence. So, sadly, that's all there is to this case. It is very heartbreaking because there is not a lot of information about what happened after he was released. We do know that at one point he went and changed his name and he worked at another restaurant as a chef. It's hard for me to get them straight because there's Dominique and Dominic, did follow Sweeney for years with a private investigator, but eventually realized that he had to let it go. Some of you actually probably know Dominic, from sitting front row at the O.J. Simpson trial throughout the entirety. He has become a pretty famous, crime journalist and has done some amazing work for the true crime community. I highly suggest checking out his article about Dominique. And like I said, I will be trying to add in, on Facebook, the clip of her last performance as well. So that is all for this week's case, but we do have a new small business spotlight. This week's small business spotlight is Lay's Boutique. Lay's Boutique is ran and operated by lovely Miss Kennedy, who is a stay-at-home mom of a 4-month-old. She makes bows, bummies, and mommy's head wraps, and you can find her on Facebook at Lay's Boutique VIP. I will have a link to Kennedy's page on the Ohio Crime Mom Facebook group, and I am also looking for new small business spotlights. If you are local to Southern Ohio, please send me a message if you are interested. It is completely free to run an ad. As well as, just as a reminder, make sure you are keeping an eye on the Facebook group because the weekend of, let me look, I can't remember. The weekend of the 23rd, I will be drawing for our giveaway winner for the Halloween giveaway. So that is it for this week. And until next time, don't become an episode.